That ball is struck well. Deep to right, and it is Nicky Lopez's first home run of the year.
There's a line drive into center field. That's down for a base hit. In to score is Gurriel, and the Astros take their first lead of the game. It's in the 10th, and it's now 4-3.
And the Astros would add to that lead and win it in 10 innings, 6-3 yesterday afternoon at the K. Royals almost had a four-game sweep over the Astros. Now watch the Royals go to Houston for three games next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and watch them get swept and dominated by the Astros. But it was a good 4 days for the boys in blue, winning 3 out of 4 from Houston. And even though they lost the final game of the series, Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, pretty pleased.
Made way through the clubhouse, make sure the guys know it's a great series they played. But still the pain of this one, you feel like it's right there. You got a couple opportunities to make something happen. We just had to have a big hit. But I thought overall they went about it, this whole series, the way we want to see them go about it.
So the Royals now 52-68. Nicky Lopez's home run snapped a streak of 464 at-bats without a homer. Second longest active streak in the majors. You know, like we talk about the Royals and things haven't gone right this year for the Royals, but Nicky Lopez was not supposed to be their everyday shortstop. He has made some unbelievable defensive plays, made another one yesterday. His bat, a lot of people thought he hit around 225 and he'd be happy with it, and he's hitting 280. He moved up to the two spot in the order, had three hits the other day, and now had a homer yesterday, and now he's stealing bases. I mean, Nicky Lopez has come around to be a pretty solid player for the Royals, and so that is one bright spot that has come out of all of this. The boys in blue in action again this afternoon. They'll take on the Cubs in Wrigley at 1:20 this afternoon. Cubs are 54-69. They had a fire sale at the trade deadline. Brad Keller on the hill for the Royals, 7-12, ERA of 5.62, the first of three at Wrigley Field. Any local stuff you want to mention? Tease people about what's coming up next week?
Yeah, next week we'll start talking with some of the coaches. Don't have it all lined up yet as far as who, but see how the fall sports practices are going so far and get a kind of a look in at some of the programs in the area. So be tuning in for that next week. And also all of our fall sports schedules are now posted at ncksports.com. So everything's there for you to check out and see when your favorite teams are going to start their seasons, who they're playing this year, and when they're playing. So that's all at ncksports.com.
Yeah, our football broadcast schedule is all posted there as well. Of course, we'll have streaming varsity sports as much as we can for Beloit. We won't be doing nearly as much as we did last year. Last year was COVID-19. Nobody could go to games early on. We added like 111 events. We did junior high. We did JV. We did C team. We're not doing all that this year. That was kind of a one-year thing, which we're hoping it would be only a one-year thing. Mm-hmm. But we will still be doing the streaming of varsity. It's our 8th year doing that for the Beloit Trojans. So we'll have high school volleyball. We'll have high school football. We'll have high school basketball. Girls and boys get to that. Some baseball, softball in the spring, and who knows what else will pop up that we'll be streaming at the Beloit Trojan channel via ncksports.com. The first one will be next Friday, a week from today, when Beloit goes to TMP for high school volleyball. Today is National Radio Day. Did you know
there
that?
There
we go. Today is National Radio Day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't think you did. It recognizes the great invention of the radio. Celebrate the news, information, music, and stories carried across the airwaves. Several inventors participated in the invention of the radio in the late 1800s. Amazingly, not just one person can be credited with its beginnings.
Now that you say it, I do remember that, though, because it's always like the day before my birthday, because I'm always posting stuff on Facebook about World or National Radio Day. But now that you bring it up, it's like, yeah, it is August 20th today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It kind of sneaks up on you. And all the schools are back in session except for two, Sylvan Lucas and Smith Center. And, yeah, I'm glad that you reminded me about your birthday.
Dusty Diners.
I like KU.
Who knew? yes, Dusty's birthday is tomorrow. I mean, if your mom would have been thinking a little bit, maybe you could have possibly have been born on National Radio Day and all would have
I
been
know,
perfect.
It's like it would have been exactly right.
Shame on
you. Just one day earlier. What are y'all thinking?
Yeah, or maybe you just were stubborn and didn't want to come in the real world and you were supposed to be on the 20th. I don't know. I have no idea. So happy birthday, Dusty. How old is Dusty going to be tomorrow?
38.
38?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I remember 38 like it was a long time ago. So 38. Funny that we mention age and birthdays, because I was sharing this story earlier on Waterside Wake Up, but in case you missed it, I'll give you an abbreviated version here today. But the cookie or baseball field for Pee Wee Baseball over in Beloit, they're going to tear that down and everything, turn it into parking. They are working on a new field that's basically going to have most of the same stuff that they'll move over, light poles, fencing, whatever, across the street and have it all in one compact area, mm-hmm. which makes sense to me, and I've known about this for a while. But yet, nonetheless, you have sentimental memories when you've played on that cookie field all the sure. years. The Lions Club done a great job with that, and, of course, they'll move the scoreboard over, too, and maybe utilize some of the dugout stuff as well. And so we didn't know when they're going to tear this down. They still haven't yet. They're working more on the new field across the street, which makes sense. And so I had told the boys and my whole family, we need to go up there some night before they tear down the Pee Wee Field and have one last hurrah, like go up there and do something. And so the other night we did. I've been a coach all the way back to when my oldest was in T-ball when he was like four. So that's 10, 11 years. And so we've had coach pitch games on there for all my kids, Pee Wee baseball games for my oldest. My oldest has a lot of fond memories. He said that was the most fun he had playing baseball was Pee Wee baseball. He still says that to this day. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the most fun I had in coaching, was Pee Wee baseball as well. And, so we went up to the whole family. So it was mom along with the three boys and me, and, my youngest, who is in second grade, he's seven, going to be eight. He got to hit first, and then I threw pitches to him. He was trying to hit dingers. Yeah, he's trying to hit it to 10 buck too. It doesn't work very well. So he hit, and then my oldest hit. He's a sophomore, and of course now he has the power. He's gotten bigger and stronger where he can hit the ball over the fence at the Pee Wee Field, whereas when he was a Pee Wee baseball player, he wasn't mm-hmm. nearly close to getting it, hitting it that far. So I was trying to serve up some, you know, batting practice for him. He hit, I think, three over the fence. I told him on one, I said, dude, I said, celebrate. Just go run the jog the bases. You've never hit a home run like that in a ball game. Might as well do it right now. And so he takes the bat, and he does this dramatic bat flip, and then he runs around the bases, my 15-year-old. And I was telling the story earlier this morning, and Clover texted me and goes, so did you throw at him on the next pitch, you know, or what? And did he charge the mound? Like, no, but I should have probably because he showed me up. So he had a few that he bounced off the street over the fence. And I was thinking, well, I'm glad we didn't hit a car that was driving by or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then my middle son, he got a hit. And he hit the ball some. So that was good. If you don't know my middle son, he has Down syndrome. And so it's he likes baseball. He's big into sports. And so he's pretty good at the hand-eye coordination. And then then it was kind of like, well, hey, why not mom swing? Let everybody swing at the plate. So mm-hmm. then my oldest was pitching to mom, my wife, and she hit some out of the infield into the grass because there's not really much defense out there, of course. It was just us. And so she probably hadn't swung a baseball bat on a baseball field for years, I'm sure. So that was kind of funny. We got a little bit of video of that because we just thought, what if she swings and misses and falls on her face? Wouldn't it be great to get on video? That's how loving we are as a family. My wife's so outnumbered. So then, of course, it was, well, Dad's next, right? So my youngest is like, well, I want to pitch you, Dad. I'm like, okay, fine. So he pitches to me, and I was able to hit one over the fence. And then my oldest, of course, now he wants to pitch to me because he's a pitcher at high school, and he's pretty, mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't throw super hard at the high school level, but his control's really good. And so that made me feel like, okay, I have no batting helmet, no protection. I don't have the elbow pad, the shoulder pad, yeah. and the wrist pad like every Major League Baseball player has anymore. Granted, they're facing pitchers that throw 100 miles an hour. So I get up into the box, and my son, who I feel pretty comfortable is not going to hit me with a pitch. He's pretty good control. And he wasn't really throwing 100%, but he's probably throwing 90%. And he's trying to, of course, throw it by me and do this and change speeds. And I was like, wow, I haven't done this in years, trying mm-hmm. to hit a pitcher that changed speeds. And it looks so easy when you're sitting in the stands. And granted, my oldest son's 15, and he doesn't throw but probably 60 miles an hour. And I'm 45. But it's still not easy to hit the wall when you don't know. And he's got a decent change of pace or speed. And so there's a couple I was way out in front of, a couple I was late on, you know, and this. And yeah. It takes timing. When you haven't done it for years, it takes timing. And if you think it's easy to just go up there and hit, and some of you parents that are out in the stands, whether it's Pee Wee baseball, high school baseball, summer baseball, Legion K-18, and then it's not as easy as you think. And so put yourself out there. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, I'm trying to hit off my son and it's not easy, but I'm able to at least put the ball in play. And I'm thinking, now try hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a 91-mile-an-hour changeup and an 88-mile-per-hour slider, and you don't know what's coming at the big league level. Can you imagine trying to hit that? That's insane.
No.
That's why when you hit 300 in the big leagues, you are maybe going to be a Hall of Famer, and that means you fail 7 out of every 10 at-bats, which is not the best. I mean, let's be honest. You get graded in school, and you miss 70% of your questions. That's an F by far. Not even close to passing grade. But in baseball, hitting 3 out of every 10 times getting a base hit is just absolutely fantastic. And so finally I said, okay, enough of this, son. I gave you BP and some fat pitches. Give me some fat pitches. So he gives me some fat pitches. Now suddenly I'm able to hit the ball pretty far, and I hit a couple over the street, and I hit one. I drilled one. Boy, it felt good. Right off the sweet spot. Oh, my goodness. So after I hit that, for me, a monster shot. Now others would have hit it all the way to Highway 24. But I was like, wow, that felt good, you know. And so I'm a competitive guy, and I was having a little bit of fun with it. So I decided I'm going to run the bases after that one. I mean, that's the shot that I'm ending with. I mean, that's the ultimate close to the night for me at the plate, you know. I'm a kid at heart sometimes, and we all need that in our lives. And so I decided to jog and do my little home run trot, and I didn't really flip the bat. I've never done that, so I just dropped the bat. Of course, I've never hit home runs when I played baseball back in the day, so I've never had to worry about flipping bats. So I just toss the bat aside like normal, and then I start the jog. Not sprint, not fast, not anything. Just start the jog. I round first base, and I feel this twinge in the lower part of my back, and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And like, so now I gingerly kind of walk all the way around the bases because I have had lower back problems before. I've seen the chiropractor multiple times. I've had back spasms so bad that I could not even tie my shoes or bend over, for crying out loud. It's been a lot better the last few years, learning the warning signs of when your back is causing problems and whatever else. So I've gotten a little smarter as I've gotten older from that standpoint. And so I go all around the bases. I'm like, okay, that's definitely it. I'm not going to swing any bonus swings or nothing like that. Then I went and go pick up baseballs. I got to be careful. I bend over to get the baseballs because I don't want to, you know, throw out my back. I'm like, God, I'm old. I mean, I'm only 45. And you know what's the great thing? This is the best thing. When you talk to people that are older than you, like you share these stories, you know what they say? It only gets worse.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, gee, thank you so much for that. Wow, that makes me feel awesome. So I'm 45.
Tell that to my, like, 23, 24-year-old cousins, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not going to get any better, dude. Don't act like you have the worst part of it yet.
And we, you know, it's funny. He's like, well, we're not getting any younger. Well, you can be 7 years old. You're not getting any younger. No matter what age you are, you're getting older every day.
Yep.
But when you're younger, you're kind of invincible. You don't have to work stretch as much. And, you know, you don't have to worry about getting hurt as much. Like, you're not going to probably, you know, throw out your back as you get older. Things like that happen. And so it was just like, seriously? And you think about it, it makes sense. I swung probably 30 or 40 times, swinging hard to try to hit over the fence. So that's doing stuff and twisting my back in a way I haven't done for years. And then, you know, didn't start to jog. Then there's the jarring on your body. Because I hardly ever run anymore, because the next morning I can barely get out of bed, because I can feel the pounding on my lower back when I'm running. It's not bad when I do it, but boy, the next day I feel it. As I get older, I kind of feel it when I'm doing it. So now I hardly ever run. You know, I jog a little bit or something or whatever, because I do too much of it. It's just I pay for it the next day. So Father Time catches up to you. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we're talking about baseball and so forth and so on. It's just really fun when you get the whole family together and do something cool like that. And that's what we did the other night. But Father Time, you know, we talk about how it catches up to players and athletes. You know, Tom Brady has been one of the exceptions, but it caught up to Peyton Manning, who was just inducted to the Hall of Fame. It'll catch up Patrick Mahomes someday. It catches up to all of us.
I think it definitely caught Drew Brees, too.
Oh, yeah, I caught Drew Brees very quickly as well. So it happens whether you're an athlete or not. So maybe me sharing that story out there makes people out there dealing with aches and pains feel a little bit better, going, oh, well, Gershner's got to deal with it, too. Well, now I feel better about myself, which if that's what I can do, so be it.
When you do that, though, it's like something you haven't done for forever. Oh. Like, yeah, like, I, for me, it's even like just shooting baskets sometimes, right? Because I don't play basketball. I'll go out and shoot every now and then.
Right.
Nothing. I don't exert myself a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, Memorial weekend, we had a big game of, you know, knockout going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm running around and I'm shooting and I'm doing everything like I normally would, right, when I'm playing knockout with my nephews or my brothers-in-law or whoever's in the game, my sisters. And the next morning you wake up, you're like, oh, even later that night it starts in, right? Well, you wake up after you've just been laying dormant, doing nothing other than sleeping. And you just wake up and it's like, oh, shouldn't have done that like that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you know the number one growing sport in America?
I figured it was soccer.
No. The fastest growing sport in America.
It's
pickleball.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. It is pickleball. And
I'd heard that somewhere.
I play once a week with Lori at the NCK Wellness Center. She introduced me to pickleball. Mm-hmm. Now, pickleball's been around for a while. I didn't know much about it. And then I don't know what it was at last summer, you know, or spring, you know, when COVID became a thing. And then when the Wellness Center opened up again, I was like, well, you know, hey, I'll try pickleball. Well, I played tennis. You played tennis. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played pickleball?
I've not.
Okay, so I encourage you to do it. You would enjoy it. Anybody that's played tennis, I think, would definitely enjoy it. And you don't have to be a person that's played tennis. I mean, if you play doubles, you don't have to run around very much. You know, hand-eye coordination. If you struggle, people will work with you. It's not highly competitive. I mean, there are places in the country that have big-time tournaments. It's in, like, a CBS Sports Network now with tournaments and you know, so forth. But around here, it's not that competitive. And a lot of people aren't aware of pickleball. And some people don't know what it really is. And so Lori had told me about pickleball a few times, and she's big because on pickleball because she did that up where she was and on the East Coast, and then she moved down here and then replaced the former Lori May, and now Lori Guile is the director at the Wellness Center, which, by the way, if you don't go to the Wellness Center and check it out and what it has to offer in North Central Kansas, you're completely missing out. We are so fortunate to have it. I mean, just amazing, the facility and what we have to offer. To people moving in or people that live here. And so she got me to try, or I one day I said, hey, you know, can you tell me or show me how to play pickleball? And she did, and it was very easy to pick up because there's a lot of similarities to tennis, but you had to adjust to the short racket or paddle compared to the longer one. So that took a little while for me to get used to. So anyway, Lori and I play once a week, all right? We play once a week, usually about an hour. And I would play a lot more, except I'll be honest with you. Her and I play singles. Usually people play doubles at the Wellness Center. But I'm younger but still getting older. But I've always pretty much played singles in tennis. And she likes singles because it's a good workout for her, something different because she usually plays doubles and teaches people and doubles play and whatever in pickleball. And so I like pickleball. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's something different than the regular cardio you do at a Wellness Center or a fitness gym or whatever. But I do it once a week, and I've thought about, hey, it'd be fun to do it more than once a week. But I'll tell you something, when she runs me around because she knows how to move this pickleball back and forth, and I'm going left and right, and I'm hustling, I'm competitive, and I'm trying to get every ball back over. And it's fun when you get it back over and win the point and so forth and so on. And she's just great to play against, and we just have fun. And that's what it's supposed to be, just have fun. We're not worried too much about who's winning what game. We want it to be close and competitive. We don't want to play horribly, but we're competitive from that standpoint. But we don't get mad at each other because one beats the other or whatever. And early on, she was kicking my butt because I was trying to learn how to play the game. And now I've improved to where we have some really good competitive games, and I win some and she wins some. And so anyway, we played yesterday because I knew there was stuff I had going on today. And we were talking about how pickleball is growing and so forth and so on. And after I got home last night, I was like, okay, this is why I only play pickleball once a week, because I felt my knee, like, not hurting, but it was a little bit sore, this and that. I'm like, dude, I'm so old, I can only play pickleball once a week. What's up with this? Because I love to play more than once a week, and I could probably do that. Maybe my body just have to get accustomed to it. But the point I'm making is pickleball is a huge sport. It's being televised now, and if you go to sporting goods stores, there's a whole aisle of pickleball equipment now, and you can go play pickleball. If you want to learn how to play pickleball, call Lori at the Wellness Center, and she will help you and explain the rules and everything. And she's got plenty of paddles or rackets and pickleballs, and it is a very unique and fun sport to play, and you should check it out, and Dusty should check it out. And I know a few years back when they had the benefit up in Smith Center, Mitch Holtis talked about pickleball, and I had no idea what pickleball was. I kind of just blew it out, like, whatever, pickleball is pickleball. I'm like, well, you eat a pickle while you play ball? I didn't know what that pickleball was.
Do you play with a pickle?
Because I like pickles, you know, dill pickles, you know, whatever. Pickle spears. but it's really been good. And I wish that I would have asked sooner about, hey, can somebody show me how to play pickleball? Mm-hmm. I wish I had known sooner. So I highly encourage people to play pickleball. But that's another example of me getting old, because apparently I can only handle 1 hour of playing pickleball. Although I must say, she's running me all over the place. So that's how it is. Trust me, she didn't run everybody around the place. In doubles, it's not nearly as bad.
I had a text from a witness that says you were getting dominated in that pickleball.
That witness also, that witness also, I think, fell asleep during a basketball workout. So just don't put a lot of stock in what that person says. I mean, come on. Yeah, I noticed when the pickleball rolled down to that end of the court, he didn't go pick it up and bend over. It was the young girl that went and picked it up and threw it back to Lori. I did notice that, Mr. Clover. So anywho. But yes, there's times where she wins points. Sometimes I win points, but it's a lot of fun and I enjoy it. And so I encourage people, and you don't have to be 45 or 25 to play pickleball. You could be 85. Seriously. I mean, if you've got the will and just want to do something different, just try it. And Lori will be happy to teach you how to play pickleball. So it's the number one growing sport in America. A lot of people don't know that. And it's right here. It's right in our backyard in Beloit, and they'll teach you, they'll help you. And I really enjoy it. And I'm going to get Dusty over there sometime to play pickleball. I am. I'm going to get him over there to play pickleball. And I think Dusty would really enjoy it. So let's get back to National Radio Day before we talk about the Chiefs and their preseason game tonight. National Radio Day is today. So I got this text from a friend of mine, Josh. And he has a son that's in my kid's grade. And they go out to recess, right? Recess. Yeah. You know how it was when you're growing up. What's your favorite class of the day? Recess and lunch. And I always ask my
sometimes.
Yeah, I always ask my oldest son, "What's your favorite?" When he was younger, which not like way younger, but a few years ago, I remember saying, "What's your favorite time of the day or the school day?" And you know what he said?
Lunch.
Dismissal. Yeah. 3:25. What's your favorite time of the school day? 3:25. Dismissal. Gotcha. For me, my favorite part of school always was recess. I loved recess. I loved PE, as long as we were playing kickball or dodgeball. And my youngest now, they're playing kickball out on the outside. And I go, dude, I love kickball.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people play kickball as much as they once did.
I was a huge fan of it.
Oh, love kickball. And what I loved was, like, when we were inside at Waukini, and Ryan Millay, of course, is over at Beloit, his dad, Doug, was our PE mm-hmm. instructor out at Waukini. And so oh my goodness, Mark Forbriches, Andrew Forbriches, and myself. There are a lot of Forbriches.
Forbriches, Dinus, and Dietz.
Yeah.
They're all somewhere connected in different ways.
I was the only Gershner. So anyway, it was Gershner, Forbriches, 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 and Dinus. And Dinus, and Forbriches, 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 and Dinus. So we were on one team. And we were inside. When we were playing inside, they, of course, roll you the soccer ball, kickball. And you come up, if you don't know what kickball is, it's like you have a bases. It's just like baseball in essence. It's baseball with a soccer ball in essence is what I call it, or a kickball. So and so there was this dotted line, and they would have the basketball standard down. And so there was a dotted line about 10 feet from the top of the ceiling straight in front of you. And if you kicked the ball on the fly over that line, it was an automatic home run, mm-hmm. automatic home run. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was good. I was good at kicking home runs, and so was half our team. And we were just home run. We got our team stacked. You know, you pick your team, and we would rig it just right. Like, okay, dude, I'm going to pick this guy. And we would just crush people in PE. It was so much fun. And it just kick home run. Finally, Mr. Millay was like, this is too easy. So then he said, this is how you change rules. If anybody catches the ball off the wall, even if it's above the line, you're out. What? What? That's not... What am I, the Wilt Chamberlain of kickball? You got to change the rules because I'm too good? But we were outside. You don't have to worry about that.
You just bomb it over people's heads. Oh, yeah. I don't ever remember playing inside, actually, when I was in school. We played outside all the time. Yeah. It was nice, you know, and it was kickball. We'd right. play outside. And I just remember you just bomb it over everybody's head.
Yeah, and I remember.
I mean, even if you're slow, they're not going to get the ball in time to catch it.
Well, and I remember kicking it and bombing it out there and getting home runs, but you actually had to run around the bases, obviously.
Yeah.
Whereas if you hit it over the line in the gym, you could just do your little jog.
Trot, yeah.
Right, yeah. It's like the Pee Wee baseball field the other night. So anyway, my youngest son talked about they're playing kickball. I'm like, oh my gosh, that takes me back to the day when I played kickball. And he goes something about, yeah, but it's not an automatic homer. They were arguing yesterday that it's not an automatic homer. Like, they kicked it all the way from the backstop all the way to the soccer field. Dad, that's an automatic homer. I'm like, no, it's not. What do you mean, Dad? I'm like, well, it's not automatic. He goes, but you said when you kick it over a line, it's automatic homer. I'm like, no. That was inside in a gym. Mm-hmm. I said, you still got to run the bases. And odds are, if you kick it far enough, you're going to have an easy homer anyway.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of when we played outside as well. And I remember we'd kick it, and then, of course, you kicked it by everybody. And the thing is, you want to kick line drives, really, honestly, because mm-hmm. if it was, like, on a rope, nobody was really going to catch it. And then you could run. It would roll forever, and it was the hard ground outside. And in Western Kansas, it was dry out there, and you'd ran around, and you'd get a home run. But I remember when we would go up against guys that I knew could kick the ball a mile, I would go way out there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you started catching them. And that would tick them off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like hitting a 400-foot baseball to the warning track, and the guy robs it at the wall. That was kind of the equivalent. Mm-hmm. Like, what? I hit the ball that far, and then this guy had a swinging bunt and got a single, and I'm out 400 feet away. And so kickball was a lot of fun. And so it was really cool when my youngest talks about playing kickball. Like, cool. And then, of course, the other game that was always great that I loved was dodgeball, which now it seems like I've heard some stories about, oh, we're worried about safety. I'm like, dude, you know what I mean? You know how many shots I took to the face and, you know, the bad area with a dodgeball?
Yeah. You guys are probably still playing with the rubber balls, right?
Oh, yeah.
We had those foam balls.
Oh, no, foam balls are horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they're and safer, so but...
Yeah, and it wasn't like an issue of we never felt like we were going to get hurt or anything.
Yeah.
I think early in our days we played with the rubber stuff.
But see, that was the fun part about dodgeball is you could hurt people.
Yeah.
That was the fun part. Especially people. Now, the great thing about dodgeball was that if there was somebody you didn't like or was kind of a bully to you or did something to you or you just were competitive, and if you got drilled by dodgeball, it was like, okay, I'm out. But the next game, you were going after that person. Because that's the competitive spirit that we had, us guys. Yeah. And I remember dodgeball so much. And I love catching it. Like, when somebody throw it hard, and I'd be like, I'm not scared. I'll catch it. And then they're out. And so I love dodgeball. But then I've heard over the years, well, we got foam and we got this, and now you got rules and you can't do this. I'm like, dude, the best thing about dodgeball is if you watch the movie Dodgeball and you can hit somebody in the you know where and the guy goes soprano for you. That was the best part about it. Or if somebody tried to jump and you nailed them the kneecaps and the shins and they go flying on the gym floor. I know that doesn't seem respectful or anything, but that was the fun part about it, you know? Oh, you turn your head, and then you turn, and you get smacked in the face. Dodgeball was fun. So dodgeball and kickball. I think I enjoy kickball maybe a little bit more because I took some shots in dodgeball. Kickball, a lot safer, but dodgeball was a lot of fun. So the reason I share this is dodgeball, kickball. Immediately my oldest son goes, well, dodgeball and kickball, those are fun games. Now he's in high school. They don't play those games hardly anymore. And so that's what happens when you grow and get older. You don't get to play that stuff as much. My youngest talking about soccer and kickball, whatever. But here's why I want to tie this into National Radio Day. And then we'll get to the Chiefs. Can you tell we're filling? So so anyway, my a good friend of mine, Josh, says, how does this go here? Here we go. Max is his son. And he said, hey, Max told me that him and your son play news at school during recess. Josh says, I asked my son if they acted like they were reading news on the radio, and he said, yes, how did you know? So then I asked my youngest son, we were out shooting baskets. I said, so I hear that you and your friend Max, you do news or something out on the at school? And he goes, yeah, at recess. I go, oh, okay. He goes, I go, oh, well, I hear Max is your cameraman, because Josh told me. He goes, Max is a cameraman. I'm like, wait a minute, radio, you don't need a camera. So apparently it's a TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, Josh said, hey, Max just told me he's the cameraman. Your son reads the news. Max runs the camera. Sounds like they are weather reporters covering tornadoes as well. And my son, as I'm talking to him, he goes, yeah, tomorrow we're going to cover a hurricane or a tornado. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting.
This is going to pop out.
This is just out of nowhere. There's a hurricane and a tornado in Kansas. And so then just... completely off the cuff, my 7-year-old says, yeah, Tyler was a cameraman for us the other day, and then he just ran off, so I fired him. I'm sitting here going, boy, Tyler must be devastated by that news. He already, in essence, quit, but now you technically fired him. I'm like, well, what are you? Did you watch old shows of The Apprentice recently, or what? You're fired. I just started laughing. So now Max is the new cameraman, apparently, because Tyler went AWOL. And probably because my son didn't pay him enough, apparently.
Probably so.
Yeah. And so they're talking about covering hurricanes, tornadoes. And I said, hey, next up, train weather spotters for KD Country 94. Josh goes, yeah, my son would probably do that. I'm like, sweet. Sweet. We get free labor. We'll do it. We'll give him some movie tickets or something.
Yeah.
We'll give him some Skittles. Do you know there's Skittle popsicles?
I actually saw those one time, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll give him some Skittle popsicles.
Yeah.
Be good stuff. So that's ties into National Radio Day. It's so weird that I came to work today and it's National Radio Day and my youngest is basically playing radio or TV out at recess. I'll just be honest. We never did that at recess.
No.
What we did at recess was kickball, dodgeball, some kind of sport, or we were harassing the girls, not in a horrible way. Like, you were chasing after them and, you know, doing this or whatever. Or they were chasing after us. That happened sometimes, too, when we were younger. So recess is apparently a little bit different. You play kickball. There's no automatic homers. And they cover the news.
Yeah.
Good thing. We got future radio and TV people.
Yeah, we didn't do it at recess, but I'm sure both of our families will tell you that we did it out on the basketball courts when we were out there playing.
Yeah.
I know I did.
Oh,
I know
did
you
too.
Did too. You told me you're just doing play by play while you're shooting baskets and stuff. And my whole family will tell you that. I never did it in public in front of people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
all the time while you're out on the basketball court.
Well, I've told the story before. There was one time I was playing a game. I think it was like Celtics versus Bulls or Lakers Celtics or whatever. And I'm doing these introductions. And I got the music off of the tape player that I'm playing. It's the final countdown. I got the Bulls intro music. I'm just going nuts. I'm doing the PA. I love doing the PA announcer. The Bulls PA announcer was awesome. So I was trying to imitate that guy. And I get loud and I get all excited. And I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting baskets. And I remember one day my mom came out and thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
She came out like worried that I got hurt. And no, I'm just, crazy, Mom. And you probably should admit me to a nearby facility.
Yeah.
But that people probably thought I was crazy. I didn't really do it in public per se, but out on the farm on the concrete
in front
of the garage, did that all the time. I knew at a very young age what I wanted to do. I think you did too.
Well, yeah, and that and summertime when you're doing it, I had Denny Matthews and Fred White on the radio listening to the Royals while I was playing basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to the game while I was shooting hoops, and that's obviously kind of what led me to do what I was doing. But that is funny, like that I never did it in public. I don't recall.
right.
But yeah, for me, it was whoever the Bulls were playing in the finals at the time, right?
Right.
It was Celtics, Lakers for you. For me, it was Bulls, Suns, Bulls, Pistons, whoever was playing there, those teams.
Yep. I remember all that.
It was always the Bulls, though. I was always Michael Jordan, no matter what.
I was always Jordan. Well, why would you be Will Purdue? I mean, we were always.
Why am I trying to be B.J. Armstrong here?
No, I was Jordan and Pippen, and I was Magic, I was Bird, and I was Worthy.
Yeah.
I like being Worthy for some reason. And then I always did the fadeaway. That was a bad thing to learn, doing fadeaways, Jordan fadeaway jumpers. It's like, I did that one
time. I did like being Reggie Miller with that kick off the screen, right?
Yeah, that's pretty nice, yeah.
I did that every now and then.
I remember that.
Try to be like Reggie.
I think in junior high, I did a fadeaway Jordan shot in practice and didn't make it, and I heard about it.
Yeah.
So
when you're that size, coach probably wasn't a big fan of it.
No, you're a guard, get out the perimeter. Exactly right. No doubt about it. Good times, reminiscing, thinking about that. Bottom line is, we all get older, and I try to tell my kids, especially my oldest, dude, enjoy your childhood, enjoy high school, and commit to what you want to commit to, and go after whatever your goals and dreams are. At the same time, remember to have fun, but be responsible at the same time. And we all make mistakes. Adults still make mistakes, it is kind of funny what you remember all these years later when you were younger, and obviously your kids are going to remember that. My kids are going to remember some of these things too.
Yeah.
Kids say the darndest things.
Well, I said hopefully that baseball thing's a memory they'll remember, right?
When
kind of talking about things. Hey, remember that time we went out when they about to tear the baseball field down and had our last hoorah out there,
I hope so.
This stuff like that is what you always hope your kids can remember from them.
I
remember
so.
Some of those things, when we were growing up.
I hope so. It's interesting. You and I were talking about this, I think, off the air yesterday about, kids getting, growing up so fast. And even when you are told by everybody, hey, enjoy it, your kids grow up fast, don't take it for granted, and you're trying to soak it in, even when you, really honestly are focused on soaking it in, it doesn't slow it down.
No.
It still goes way fast. You go, where does the time go? I get these memories now. Like when the first day of school, I get all these pictures that have been posted over the years, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 years ago, and I'm looking at how my kids are completely different. It's like, wasn't that just about a year ago?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And then I look at myself in the mirror and go, God, I used to have hair. All right, so let's focus now on sports. And if you didn't like that part of the show, too bad.
Hey, there was definitely some sports in there.
There was. It was sports. We're talking kickball, dodgeball, and pickleball. When was the last time we did a whole topic or a whole segment on pickleball, kickball, and dodgeball? We just did that. You just can't get this anywhere, folks.
No.
See, somebody's calling the complaint already. So let's talk about the Chiefs for a moment. The Chiefs have the pregame, their second preseason game, 6 o'clock pregame on Z96.3 Blake tonight. The Chiefs play the Arizona Cardinals, and then the Chiefs will have their final preseason game because there's just three this year. They'll be at home against the Vikings next Friday, which I would imagine Mahomes and the guys won't play hardly at all, if at all. So this might be the last time we see some of the first stringers in preseason play. Remember, last year we didn't have preseason. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it hurt the product that much. I do believe the preseason is important more so for the guys trying to make a team,
yeah,
for people to see how good they are. And here's Andy Reid's message to the players that are trying to make the team going into tonight's second preseason game.
I tell them right at the beginning, don't count the numbers in the line. Just go. Do your best. And that's really, you know, to answer that question, go do your best. You don't have to overdo it or you're going to mess up. You don't want to count the numbers in the line and get intimidated by that. And you just go do your best. You have an opportunity to play. Get on tape. So if you don't make it here, you might make it somewhere else.
I think that's the best piece of advice. Listen, if you look at the depth chart and you're saying, wow, I'm fourth string at tight end, I'm not going to make this team. That's true. You could hang your head and go, oh, I'm not going to feel sorry for yourself. Or you can say, listen, this is an open audition on television and it'll be on film, and somebody might need to, you know, other teams might be weak at tight end. You know, here it's pretty obvious. You got Kelsey, you got Bell, Gray, but the Fortson guy played very well. The Fountain guy, you know, recently. Those mm-hmm. are guys that probably won't make this team that very well could be picked up off the cut day for another team and still have a very good career. It happens every year. There's somebody that gets cut that goes to another team and makes some big contributions. So I think Andy Reid's advice is absolutely on point that, hey, even if you don't know what your situation here is with us, at the very least you have an open audition to play football and getting an opportunity to play football in front of a whole bunch of people to where you might get picked up by somebody else. I think that's fantastic advice. All right, I don't know exactly. I haven't really heard exactly the plan for the game tonight. You know, the first game was basically the first quarter for the first stringers, and that fully didn't happen, obviously. Mahomes only had 4 snaps. I would guess they'll play a little bit more.
He said first half for the starters for the ones. They're not playing the whole first half. Twos and threes in the second.
I would think they're going to play maybe a couple more series. Mahomes might play 2 series. And the offensive line might play the whole first quarter instead of 11 plays.
Yeah.
That's what I think. He always says that, and then next thing you know.
They don't ever do the whole thing that he says.
Next thing you know, early in the second quarter, comes Chad Henne, I think Henne will be in the first quarter, but here all of a sudden you see the second team offensive line come in, 2 minutes in the second quarter. You're like, wait a minute, I thought you said you're going to play the offensive starters all first half, Andy. But I'm okay with whatever he does. The bottom line is, I'm really not too worried about preseason. I'm not going to get overly riled up about preseason because for my team, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, that's my favorite team, has been for years, even when they're no good. Dusty's wearing a Chiefs Super Bowl shirt right now, so we obviously know who he cheers for. The bottom line for me is very simple. I want the Chiefs to get through preseason without any serious injuries. That's the only goal I have as a Chiefs fan. You know, I know what Mahomes can do. I know what Hilaire can do. Kelsey can do. Hill can do. I know, it's kind of fun to watch offensive line a little bit as to how they are starting to gel. But I'll see that week one anyway. The bottom line is I don't want Tooney or Brown to get hurt. I don't want Matthew to get hurt. I don't want Chris Jones to get hurt. I would be perfectly fine if the Chiefs just did not play their starters at all the rest of the preseason. I would have no problem with it because I know there is proof and evidence to back up my statement that they don't need preseason for the starters. You don't need the preseason games. Do you need preseason in regards to training camp? Yeah, I think that's important. But you don't need the preseason games. That's why they scaled it from 4 to 3, and they've got 17 regular season games this year for the first time instead of 16. And we found out that the product on the field wasn't really affected too much without preseason games a year ago due to COVID. So for me tonight, I have one goal as a fan, and that is watch and hopefully not see anybody come out from the sideline, a trainer in a cart coming out. And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not overly worried about, you know, I mean, I think the thing I'll be watching a little bit more tonight, because I didn't watch it as closely as maybe I should have the last game, is I'm going to be watching if Willie Gay plays tonight, because he didn't play the first preseason game, and Nick Bolton. I'm going to be really probably watching those two young linebackers more than anything, and I'll probably watch the offensive line a little bit. And honestly, after that, I'm not really too worried about anything, and I'm not really worried about that either, but it's something for me to keep an eye on. And let's just fast forward and get to September 12th and play the Browns.
Yeah. Let's see if safety gets burnt on an 80-yard pass play again tonight.
A safety that's not going to be on the team.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, and follows it up, giving up a 34-yard pass from the own one and letting a rookie quarterback make you look bad. Yeah, there's certain guys that are going to give up big plays, and you may say, oh, what's wrong with the defense? Who cares? Those guys aren't going to be on the team.
Yeah.
All right, there's a reason the second half doesn't mean much other than – I mean, the second half, you're watching guys that are honestly – they're really the only way they're going to make the team more than likely is if there's some injuries at the position or they're going to play special teams.
Yeah,
that's your best chance.
Team. You, like, these guys here try to get on special teams to try to hit that practice squad.
That's right.
Because then you actually do have a chance if somebody gets injured to kind of move up and at least be on the 53-man, right?
Absolutely.
And have that. So, you know, some of those guys – you know, you got to have that focus and try to do that.
Absolutely. So Cardinals and Chiefs in Arizona, 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. Last night there was a preseason game. The Patriots blew out the Eagles 35-0. Before you start freaking out about how good the Patriots are, the Eagles didn't play their starters, and the Patriots did. So obvious. Cam Newton played well. Mac Jones played well. So forth and so on. 35-0. Another game tonight. NFL Network has the Bengals at the Washington Football Team. They're still trying to figure out what their new name is going to be. And I've seen some of the options. I'm like, just stick with Washington Football Team.
Yeah, the only one I like out of what I saw the other day is maybe Red Wolves. I think that's a kind of thing that's kind of people like. But other than that, they're all kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Washington Football Team's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Tomorrow, the preseason game, Bills at the Bears, and the Jets are at the Packers, and the Ravens are at the Panthers, and there's a whole bunch of more games. Falcons at Dolphins, Titans at Bucks, Lions at Steelers, Colts at Vikings, Texans at the Cowboys, Raiders at the Rams, Broncos are at the Seahawks, and then Sunday, Giants at the Browns, and the 49ers are at the Chargers. And Monday night, there's a preseason game, Jaguars at the Saints, in case you care about all that. It's all available to you, NFL.com. All right, some of the news that's come out here this week, and it's not really a big surprise. A lot of conferences have fallen in line with one another. The Big 12 announced 2 days ago that they're going to be a forfeiture policy ahead of their upcoming season. The ACC came out with some of the same stuff yesterday. Pac-12 said it. I think the SEC has too. I don't know for sure. Bottom line is the policy is this. The conferences are saying, the Power 5 conferences, listen, if you can't play because you have too many COVID-19 cases or an outbreak, you don't have enough guys to play a football game, you lose.
That's on you.
You forfeit. That's on you. You know, get your team vaccinated, and if you choose not to get vaccinated, this is one of the repercussions of not getting it done. I think this is a really interesting thing that was pointed out by Ross Dellinger, who I follow on Twitter, and he said this. In May, he goes, I visit University of Arizona. They were one of the first FBS schools to reach the 90% vaccination mark. Here's what the head coach of Arizona football team said back in May. Listen to this. This is very interesting. The vaccine is a competitive advantage. I tell our players all the time, if you can get a vaccine that would prevent you tearing your ACL, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And his point, if you say ACL and coronavirus, that's two completely different things. No, his point is, if you understand what his point is, let me try to explain it if you don't get it. What he's saying is, if you had a way to avoid being injured and it would keep you on the field, you would do it, wouldn't you? So why wouldn't you take a vaccine so that you can stay on the field and, oh, yeah, don't let your teammates down and, oh, yeah, so we don't have to forfeit? Pretty strong points. By the way, Arizona is now 100% vaccinated. So the message has gotten through. So it's interesting leadership of the different programs. K-State, I think, is like 87%. I don't know what KU is, but they're not 100%. KU isn't, K-State isn't, Nebraska isn't. It will be interesting to see if we're going to have college football forfeits in our foreseeable future. If we're going to have one, if we're going to have a couple, but they're not going to reschedule stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, what happens if both teams have all kinds of issues? And the other thing is, you want to be the last person to say that you have issues, because if you go into Friday and this other team says, okay, we don't have enough kids to play, we're going to have to forfeit, and you're like, phew, we didn't have enough either, but we waited it out long enough to where we get a win because we just waited till the very last moment. That'll be interesting to follow that. But I think there's a possibility you could have a
a forfeit. But I will say this. I think what's going to, and I don't know exactly how the rules are this year in regards to possession depth, but if you're a football team, listen, you've got how many guys on scholarship?
75 now, I think.
And you play how many at a time?
11 on one side, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you have, I mean, high school teams with 11-man football, they have, if they have 15 kids, they can play 11-man football. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's what you want to do
not
at the college
field,
level,
but yeah.
But what I'm saying is technically, as long as you have 11 guys, you can play. I mean, why should there be a rule saying, I mean, it's for safety, I get this, but if you got 60 scholarship players, 80, whatever it is, and you end up having half your team has COVID, but the other 40 players are cleared, that's plenty to play. Now, you may get beat, but wouldn't you rather go out and at least be beat on the field than just giving up and forfeiting? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm privy to this information. In fact, we've even had it on the show publicly. Brian Smoller's talked about it. Matt Walters has talked about it. John Kurtz has talked about it. K-State had no business playing a couple games last year.
Oh, yeah.
They had no business playing a couple games last year. They were so depleted with COVID and guys in quarantines and this and that. They had offensive players trying to play defense, defensive players trying to play offense, and they still went out and competed. And they were shorthanded when they played Oklahoma and Norman and still found a way to win. But they played some games at the end of the year where they would have been, honestly, probably better off not playing because it would have been less embarrassing. I mean, they gave up 69 to Texas, and they were missing a whole bunch of guys. And I'm not making excuses because Texas beat them fair and square. But the point being is that we saw that effect last year when you were undermanned. Mm-hmm. But at least some of these teams, you know, sucked it up and went out and played. Now, there's some others that maybe knew they were going to get smoked, and so that was a convenient way for them to kind of get out of it. I think that happened too. Will that happen again this year? We shall see. Do you think we'll have any forfeits this year?
Listen, they're going to do everything in their power to play.
Right.
Because it's literally a forfeit this year. It's not a,
it's
hey,
a
we can't play the game. It's a no contest.
Right.
We're going to try to reschedule if we can, but if we can't, it's just a no contest, and you move on to life. But now, there's not – no people aren't going to be lining up to do it. They're not going to be like, oh – I don't know, maybe if you're Vanderbilt and you're terrible and about ready to play Alabama or something like that, you're like, oh, we have too many guys out, we're just going to take the loss.
Right.
Maybe something like that, but I don't see it happening in any other way, if they can avoid it at all.
I agree.
Now, if you have, you know, 70% of your team has COVID, then, yeah, probably they're going to have to forfeit that game.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. There was one game that was a forfeit. Remember VCU? And that was the only one, luckily. And I think you'll probably have at least one or two in a situation this year. But whether it be a big school or not, I don't know. Hey, speaking of college football, this is out there now. Nicole Arbach of The Athletic is reporting the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 are expected to make a formal announcement about their alignment very soon, perhaps as early as next week. This is not good for the Big 12 remaining eight schools. In fact, they're talking about not only scheduling and television inventory, but there's the alliance will go beyond just scheduling and TV inventory, according to some sources, although the specifics are scarce right now. So not good news if you're a KU or a K-State fan hearing that, because the hope was, the best option, I think, on the table was to merge or have an alliance with the Pac-12. That was the best option on the table, and apparently that option is not on the table anymore. So just more bad news for a conference that seems to me to be eventually going to meet its impending doom. That's my opinion. I think Dusty agrees.
Yeah.
We shall see how long they can stick it out or merge with the AAC, or who knows what's going to happen. And finally, what about NHL hockey in Kansas City? How cool would that be? I've been to an NHL hockey game. I have to admit, going to an NHL hockey game, I like basketball better than hockey, but going to an actual entertainment venue and watching an NHL hockey game in Colorado a day after I watched the NBA game the night before, hockey was much more fun. The NBA is pretty boring. The Thunder games are kind of fun. There's a few places that are a little bit somewhat like college and pro. Thunder's one of them. But a lot of NBA facilities aren't very exciting until maybe you get to the playoffs. The NBA can be very boring. They punch in the crowd music and trying to get the crowd going. It's almost fabricated. Whereas hockey, you hear the skates. If they do it right, they ain't pumping music left and right. And you hear the checking in the boards, and it's fun. It really is fun to watch, you know, grown men beat each other up. So, and oh yeah, skate and hit a puck into a net.
Yeah.
But hockey's really fun to watch. And if NHL came to Kansas City, I'd definitely go watch a few games, no question. So the reason I say NHL hockey in Kansas City, the city of Glendale, Arizona, will not renew its operating agreement with the Arizona Coyotes past this upcoming season, which means the 18-year run in the city of Glendale is over. So all of a sudden, there are KC people putting out there, all right, there's a chance. KC's got to go get the Phoenix Coyotes. The Arizona Coyotes got to come to Kansas City. We were a great sports town. This would be terrific. We've got the T-Mobile Center. Hello. I'm sorry to break it to you folks, but the most likely destination for the Coyotes will be Tempe, Arizona. Tempe and the Coyotes are owned by billionaire. That's right. What do you know? An owner that's a billionaire, Alex Murillo, have reportedly talked about a potential relocation proposal since July, and Tempe, Arizona is the number one choice, which would make sense. You don't have to move very far. The players could still live in that area or whatever. But if you were getting all excited, seeing on social media, NHL coming to Kansas City, let's go get the Coyotes, which I'm all for, not going to happen.
No.
Darn it.
Yeah. That makes it an easy transition. If you stay in Arizona, you can still be the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes, it does. Just remember, everyone, if you still physically can do it, you play dodgeball with foam balls, kickball with foam balls, and pickleball. Have a great weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe.